So it's Trinity Sunday today that we're exploring, and I don't know how this week has left you feeling. Yet another week of turmoil, of unexpected results, of uncertainty now about what the future holds for us. And I was reflecting this week on, isn't it just as well that we believe in a good and merciful God who is in authority over all? Because if our hope was entirely in the order that we could bring to the world, it doesn't look like we're terribly good at it. So today we're going to be reflecting on the nature of our great God, three persons in one, and in the assurance that comes from following him. And the prayer for Trinity Sunday. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We'll be seated for our first reading.
This morning's reading is from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth and can be found on page 944, chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll stand for our gospel reading. Our gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 to the end. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, as we come to reflect on that passage, we pray that we will catch a glimpse of how great you are. Fill our hearts with love for you, and may it overflow to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I must admit that I've had a bit of practice preaching about the Trinity. I discovered when I was a curate that my training incumbent didn't really like preaching about it because he thought it was all a bit confusing. So I was always mysteriously on the rota when it came to Trinity Sunday. And it is a slightly taxing concept that we have to get our heads around, this idea that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. That God is three persons, but is one God. And it's not just one God who presents himself in three different ways, that there are actually three separate and distinct persons who are not each other, but who all are God. And it's not helped when you're trying to explain this by the fact that the Bible just kind of ignores it in terms of a full, thorough sort of explanation that we would like. The two readings that we've had this morning are pretty much the only readings in the Bible where it explicitly talks about Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one breath. And yet, It is there throughout Scripture. It is there from the very beginning in Genesis when the Spirit hovers over the waters. It's there when Jesus is healing and people are recognizing the power of God in him. It's there in the epistles when Paul just seems to interchange Jesus and God quite happily and freely. It's there when the Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God. So we do have to grapple with this. It's very important to our faith. And yet, it's probably not something that our heads are ever going to be fully satisfied with. So here's just three pointers as to how we can start to get under the skin of the Trinity and start to explore what it's really all about. First idea, the Trinity is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. It's not some clever theology. It's not some well-thought-out philosophy. It's not a profound conundrum. It is all about how God is experienced. This is what the disciples found. They were Jews. They knew there was one God. They knew the Father God. They met Jesus. They knew he was God, his friend. And then they received the Holy Spirit in them. And they knew that was God as well. I sometimes think this is a bit like bicycles. I enjoy riding bicycles. It's always been a bit of a hobby. And as you wear them out, you learn some tricks about how to repair them and to take them apart and put them back together again. I can't dismantle a bike completely and put it back together, but even if I could, I don't really think that would tell you very much about what it is to ride a bicycle. My favourite ride on a bicycle is in Dorset, coming down Ballard Down with Corfe Castle behind you and a gentle downward stroll all the way to old Harry Rocks at the bottom, and nearly came a cropper on some wet grass right at the bottom and went right over the edge of old Harry Rocks once. But it's a beautiful experience, and you sort of whiz along, and as you put your power into the pedals, it sort of is magnified and directed and focused, and you have control over this bike, and the wind is in your hair, and it's just a glorious feeling. And knowing how a bicycle is put together doesn't help you with that at all. Doesn't tell you anything at all about what it is to ride a bike. It's a bit like that with God and the Trinity. It's all about our relationships with him. The deep truth is it wouldn't help us to understand how the Trinity works, but it does help us to have a Trinity to get to know. He is in relationship in himself. God is all about relationships. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in relationship with one another in this tight unity. And that relationship is on offer to us. We are drawn into the Trinity. We are shown what delightful relationships can look like, and we're invited to share it with others. This, actually, is what life is all about. God is God in relationship, and we are invited to live lives of relationships. People have all sorts of ideas about what life is for, what it's about. It's about being happy. It's about having fun. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about being fulfilled. Actually, what Scripture tells us is it's all about relationships with God and with one another. Doesn't that sound a lot like what Jesus said when he was asked, what are the two most important laws? Love God, love your neighbor. So the Trinity is all about relationships. But actually, let's dig a little deeper. It's actually all about diversity in relationships. It's all about the fact that not only is there relationship in the Trinity, but they are quite distinct and different persons. In fact, just like people you might meet in day-to-day life, there are some of them that you might find easier to get on with and others that you might find a bit more difficult. So we've got God the Father, who is awesome in power, the creator, the one from who created everything that we know, the maker of heaven and earth, but who can seem a bit distant and unknowable, perhaps, a bit fierce and daunting if we don't connect with him very easily. And there's Jesus the Son, God as a human being, just like us, somebody who eats and drinks, who has friends, who goes through really difficult times, who cries when he loses a friend, when he's let down by a friend. He's unfairly accused. He's a very real, down-to-earth sort of human being, God. And yet also, sometimes you might find him a bit tricky, this way that he keeps talking in riddles and parables, that it's very difficult to get to the bottom of exactly what he meant and exactly fully what he was asking us to understand. And the way he behaves can be a bit unpredictable, can't it? We think we've got a handle on him. He's loving and non-judgmental. Great, we've got that sorted. Except that he condemns the Pharisees, doesn't he, in no uncertain terms. He's quite strong against them. And he gets so angry in the temple, we just aren't quite sure what he's going to do, maybe. And then the Holy Spirit, God in action, God in us, God close to us, the presence of God, the one who sort of gives us a big hug, the one that we can sense whether he's here or not. And yet also we might struggle with this Holy Spirit, the one who seems to make some people act quite strangely and fall about and talk about pictures that they've had, and it can all seem rather emotional and out of control. Three very different sorts of people in the Trinity, and yet all very definitely the sort of God that we want to know. And here's the interesting thing. Even though they are so different and there is such diversity there, they are so tightly knitted together, aren't they? The Trinity is singing with the difference within it. The diversity is what makes it interesting. It's what makes it exciting. When the early church was looking for a word to describe the Trinity, they came up with the Greek word perichoresis. Perichoresis, and it's quite a hard word to translate, but it's got a sense of sort of dynamic, of movement, particularly of a sort of rotating type of movement. And it's often been suggested that this should be translated as dancing. The Holy Spirit is singing and dancing with this diversity of relationship within it. Difference is great. It's to be enjoyed. It's to be celebrated. It's something wonderful. It's right there in the heart of the Trinity. And because it's there, it's in everything that God has made, this wide diversity. And just as we sometimes struggle with people around us, just as we sometimes struggle with one of the people of the Trinity, well, that struggle is all part of the fun. It does take a bit of effort to make diversity work, but when we do, that's what unleashes the dancing and the fun and the singing. So the Trinity is all about relationships. It's all about wonderful diversity in relationships, and it's also about a love that flows out of those diverse relationships. It's no coincidence that there are three people in the Trinity. Because what fun is there in love if you haven't got anyone to share it with? So, you know, if the Father and the Son have this deep love, they naturally need the Holy Spirit there in order to be able to share it with others. We see this, don't we, sometimes in couples when they get married and they have a love for each other, and yet somehow it sort of wants to have this further expression of having children, to have others to love. That love just bubbles over. And we know how painful and difficult it can be when it isn't possible for that to happen. But that's what we see at the heart of the Trinity, a sort of love that bubbles over not just into children, but from the Trinity into us. And from us into everybody around us, into our neighbours. God is calling us, inviting us into this dance, into this singing of diversity and love, in order that we can show that love to everyone around us. Jesus, in John chapter 14, he's telling the disciples that he's going back to heaven. And he says this: "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." This is the wonder of the Trinity, that we are invited right into it. That Jesus is saying, "You are in me, and I am in the Father." You are part of this dance of love and joy. So that's where I think we end up with the Trinity. It's what I call drainpipe theology. The love of the Father pouring out from within the Trinity, and we receive it down from the Father. But what happens when a drainpipe is receiving things from above and it doesn't go anywhere? You have a blocked drain, and it creates a terrible mess. What's meant to happen is that love and that power that we receive from above is meant to flow out to everybody around us. That's the challenge of the Trinity. It's an invitation to come and join the dance, to join the singing, to join the joy, to receive the love, and then to offer it around to everybody around us. So we're going to finish just by praying and asking God that we may receive more of his love today and that it will overflow in us. We're going to ask him to show us who he wants us to share his love with this week. Heavenly Father, Father God, Son and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the joy, the diversity and the life of the Trinity. We thank you that all of that joy and life and love has spilt out into our world and into our very existence. So, Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will send your Holy Spirit on us again. May we receive more of your love right now. Holy Spirit, give us a glimpse of that dance of joy in heaven. And Father God, as you set our hearts on fire with love for you, we pray that we will share it with those around us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bring to mind in our mind's eye right now someone or some people, a community that you want us to share your love with this week. Show us, Lord, where your love is flowing this week. So, Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see the joy of your dance going on all around us, to receive your love and to share it in your power. In Jesus' name. Amen.